Hi there, and welcome to episode 14 of A Design Life, the podcast. In this podcast, I'm actually not going to be interviewing anyone. This is me sharing my journey so that you can hear, you know, my highs and my lows and how things have been for me in my business, because often we can be looking at those people out there that possibly we see in the industry doing a really great job and working on lots of fabulous projects and having lots of wonderful clients. And we don't actually realize, you know, how they got there and what's been their journey. And we just assume that everything's always gone really nicely and smoothly for them. I can assure you that's often not the case. And it's especially not the case for me. So here I go sharing with you my journey. So I grew up in Pakeranga in Auckland, and I'm one of three. I'm actually the oldest of three. And we had a really, really nice upbringing. And mum and dad were really great examples. My dad in particular was a really hard worker, and he was often always working. He was involved in lots of charity events and community events and committees and things like that. My mum was the great nurturer. You know, she made sure she kept us well fed and got us to school and got us to activities and all of those things. But actually, looking back now, what I admire most about my mum as the nurturer and carer in our family was she actually really knew how to relax. And you'll see as I start to share my journey with you, that was something that I've always struggled with, and probably something that I've inherited from my father's always active and doing things. And like I said, involved in various committees and things like that, and they're working hard. And so as young teenagers, all of us had part-time jobs. And I think probably I'm 52. So back in our era, a lot of us did have part-time jobs and worked, because if you wanted to buy anything extra, like buy yourself a car or go to anything or buy anything nice, then there wasn't that spare money in the family to do so. And so you needed a part-time job to do that. So I probably worked from when I was about 13 years or so. And I used to work at a bakery before school. As I got older, I worked in restaurants. And then as I got into my late teens, heading towards my 20s, I became an aerobics instructor. And so there was always this, not expectation, but it was just you worked if you wanted that extra money, like I said. And so I loved being an achiever, and there were always wonderful incentives for working harder and doing really well. And so I was always actively involved in trying to really do the best that I could for whoever that I worked for. And I was in my 18 to 20 sort of years, and I met my husband that I'm still with after 32 years. And so I was married when I was close to 20. And so we bought our first house. And so, you know, these were, gosh, times when interest rates were so high. And so actually, as well as having my day job, which I was in computer sales back then, I also had a part-time job where I taught aerobics at night. And actually, my husband also had a part-time job as well, just so we could actually pay our mortgage. So, you know, things were quite tight financially. And so again, you know, I worked my day job, and then I'd do, say, five classes of aerobics during the week, so that we had enough money to pay all our bills. And look, I didn't resent any of that. That was just how I'd grown up, and it was what I was used to. And I was really happy to be a homeowner. And actually, here I'll just sort of chip in about around creativity, actually, because interior design was never really on my radar, to be honest. And I was always into crafts. I was taught to knit by my grandmother. I was taught to sew and crochet and cross stitch. And then as I went on into my later teens, I was always creating. Like, I went to, you know, workshops when crackle paint became all the thing. And for many of you who are sort of in my era, you'll remember the crackle paint. I even used to tie dye my clothes and things like that. And so I was always doing things that were really, really creative. But like I say, I never set out or thought that I would have a career in interior design. And actually, to be honest, also in that era, no one really had an interior designer unless you were particularly wealthy. Unlike these days, a lot of people will use an interior designer because they don't want to make costly mistakes, not just because they have the money to do it. They'll make it a priority to spend on it, right? And so, you know, as we had a house, and that was actually a housing company
you know, not prefabricated, but one of those housing company type standard houses that you have built. And then a really exciting opportunity came up for us where we had the opportunity to build our own home. And would you believe I actually got the help of an interior designer? And that was a lot of money to spend back there then. But I'd heard of this interior designer and I was really struggling to do the colours for my home, my new home. We were building this from scratch. We'd bought a section. And so I actually paid someone to help me with the interior design. And so that's super helpful. And that really got me starting to think about, oh, wow, this is really neat. I really enjoyed doing the window treatments and finding furnishings and all of those sorts of things for this new home. We didn't stay in that home very long, to be honest. We had always been driving to another suburb and really were so excited to see the prospect that we could possibly afford to move to this next new suburb. And by then we'd had our first child. And so we did move house from selling a lovely brand new home. We moved into like the worst house in the street.
Siri knows many things. And started
our process of renovating. And it was then that I was at home with my first son and I had heard about the interior design course run by Nanette Cameron. And so that was when I took my first year in that course. And that really inspired and ignited a real interest for colour and fabric and building and renovating. And we were really exposed to so many different homes back then. We used to have something called house visits that were every couple of months, and we got to go into the open homes of wonderful people that had created not necessarily expensive flashy homes, but all sorts of created homes. And it was there that I got an appreciation for all sorts of styles of homes. And we were in the process of renovating this very much basic home and extending it and so on. And so I got so much value out of doing this course and learned so much that I really took all of what I'd learned and used it as I started to develop my own style and ideas for my home. And so it was at this point that my sister, my sister's friends, my neighbours started asking for my advice. And so this is where it gets really interesting. So like I say, I never set out to be an interior designer. And what happened was people started asking me for my advice. And so I was like, wow, this is really exciting. I don't have to go back to a 9-to-5 paid job. Perhaps I can do this as a job. And look, also, I didn't really think about it as, and you know, could this be like a big career for me? It was more that people were starting to ask me, could I help them? And I started saying yes. And what was really interesting, I started off, I think I was about $35 an hour was my hourly rate. And so I started to help these people and they were so grateful and really, really loved the advice and help that I was giving them. And so there you go. That started my business. And so what happened was more and more people started to talk to their friends and their neighbors and their workmates and their family and people like that. And so more people started to phone me. And so here you go. I have a business. So I created a business name. I don't even think at that point I had a business website, and certainly social media wasn't even around at all. And so what's really interesting is that because I didn't plan this business from the outset, it started to evolve and started to grow, and then it got busier and then it got busier and then it got chaotic. And I'm juggling, you know, children at school, and I'm juggling the learning of you know, how to source furniture and open accounts and the gradual growing of my business. Before I knew it, I had all these wonderful clients, some of them not so ideal. You know, they would often texting wasn't happening by then anyway, but phone me out of business hours. More or less, sometimes people expected to get, you know, free advice by having a quick phone call with you as opposed to having a consultation and things like that. But that's where I think it sort of initially became challenging, was that I had no structure, that I had no plan. I certainly had no systems. And I really just winged everything. You know, there weren't any mentors out there. There weren't any older interior designers or experienced interior designers that I could ask for help. And actually, in those times, it was very much a you kept to yourself. Certainly if you were going into, you know, showrooms back then, everyone very much, you know, kept to themselves. No one would even think of sharing their contacts or letting you know who was their curtain maker or upholsterer or anything like that. You had to find this all out yourself. So that's really challenging. And but, you know, I got there and, you know, there were so many highs and so many lows. The number of times I can remember, you know, where, you know, things didn't go to plan. And, you know, back those days, I even did things like I would do my own curtain measuring. And I had some terrible situations where I mismeasured. And so that was, you know, a mistake that I had to fix. There were times when I'd told people about what colours they should have and hadn't made a note of it anywhere. I didn't have any systems in place. And so sometimes, you know, what I was doing worked and it was great. And the other times, you know, like I completely dropped the ball. And so what no one tells you about being in business is that, you know, you've got these real challenges that came up. But there's always been that lure of being self-employed for me. And so, you know, I really didn't want to go and be employed by someone. So I just kept fumbling along on my own, doing the best that I can. And most of the time that worked for me, right? But what I was really seeking from being self-employed was freedom. But what I was starting to find was, is that I felt I had less and less of that. And what I'd also found was the lure of being self-employed was having flexibility, you know, especially back then when I had young children, the ability to go to, you know, a school sports day or the go on a school trip and things like that and work my own schedule. But what I also didn't consider was that being in business on my own meant that I had to do everything myself. So what often ended up happening for me was, yes, I could go to the school events and, yes, I could go to the after-school activities with my children. But what that also meant for me was that often I worked at night and often I caught up on things on the weekend because I had to do everything myself. And in doing everything myself, it meant that I had to do stuff that wasn't even fun, like my accounts and my admin, when really what I wanted to do was not be bogged down by all of those things. I wanted to be out there seeing the clients, doing the design work. But how was I going to get around this, you know? This led to me not having really set work hours. So I felt like I was often always available to my clients and often they had free access to me. At times I got to the point where I was really swamped by my work and frustrated by clients that weren't my ideal clients and that perhaps were mucking me around, and also clients that didn't respect my boundaries. There were actually times that I was so overwhelmed, so frustrated, and probably a crying mess on the floor when my husband was also frustrated by what I was doing, that I thought this was too damn hard being in business. And I thought, I'm not sure if I can even do this anymore. You know, where was that flexibility? Where was that freedom that I was seeking by being in business? Enter a major meltdown. So this is really interesting. I bumped into an old supplier who had since changed career paths and was now doing business mentoring. And I bumped into her and I actually went along to one of her vision board workshops. And wow, that was absolutely a turning point for me and how I was doing business, right? So I went along to this wonderful workshop, learned about vision boarding and starting to create a vision for how I wanted my life and my business to be. And so much of what I was doing was so out of alignment. And what I realized when I was on this workshop was that there was the possibility of having exactly what I wanted, because here was me, it was my business, but actually it wasn't working to my advantage. My business was actually ruling me and I wasn't getting that flexibility and that freedom that I'd always been seeking, okay? And during this meltdown at this, I went to this workshop after I'd been to this vision boarding. I was picked to go up the front, which I was really excited about, and have my question answered. But what actually happened was that it brought me to tears, because I ended up saying how overwhelmed I was and how I was too busy. And you'll often hear, if you've listened to any of my past blogs or podcasts, I've talked about how the word busy had become such a negative word for me. And I know that our industry is full of this word busy, and like, are you busy? Are you busy? Have you got lots of clients? Hi, how are you? Are you busy? And so I removed that word from my vocabulary, because for me, busy brought up so much discomfort, and busy often meant tears, frustration, things going wrong, can't get everything done, not enough hours in the day, right? And by going along to this event workshop and this really being brought to the surface, I broke down. I was like absolutely sobbing, because I realized that I didn't want to be this busy. I'm wondering if you listeners out there can relate to this, of being at that point where I know I would do this. I would often sit there and I actually wouldn't know what to do first, because this was urgent, that was urgent, this person was crying out for this, I needed to get this done, et cetera, et cetera. And it just became so incredibly overwhelming. I didn't know what to do. And so what then happened was I decided to work with this woman as my business coach. And that was really, really amazing. I was able to really sit down and pick apart my business and start to look at ways in which I could work a lot smarter by bringing on people to help me, you know. And I've been always one of these people where I believe, you know, I don't want to pay someone else to do something when I could do it myself, or actually it'd be quicker if I just did this myself than try to explain to someone else how to do things. As I mentioned earlier, there actually were no systems in my business. So there was not one way of doing things that made things simple or repetitive, that I could just use templates and do my client specifications or my client mood boards. There was no way of collating information so that I could easily access it later. So say a client came back to me a year and a half later and asked me what the color of their bedroom had been. Gosh, early days of my business, I would have scrambled on my little piles of pieces of paper and tried to find where I'd actually written that down in their file. Creating systems, creating boundaries, putting in some sound business practices meant that suddenly I started to see some of this flexibility and freedom happening in my business. Suddenly, I was actually in a financial position where I could think, you know what? I can actually afford to bring someone else into my business and pay them to do my accounts. And so I did that. And oh my gosh, at first, you know, it wasn't super, super easy. I had some teething problems. Getting the right person is really, really important. And I had a wonderful admin woman who actually had approached me, Penny, and she was just the dream for me. You know, we had no idea of how we would work together, but what I did, she was great at what she did, and she was fabulous at systems. And so I said to her, you just do what you think needs to be done, and I'm going to hand all of that over to you. That was hard, because if you're someone like myself who likes to control everything, it's really hard handing things over to people. But it was just amazing to have someone else in my business that could help me have clear systems. And so that suddenly going forward, we had a way of doing things. If a client placed an order, we would do X. If a client da-da-da, we would do X. And we suddenly had this plan going forward of how we would integrate each new client into the business. And so it became a set process. You know, we had templates, like I said, and there's a set process for integrating a client into our system. And what I suddenly realized is that by me freeing up more of my time with someone helping me in my business with that admin side of things, accounts and emails and purchase orders, dealing with our suppliers, all those sorts of things, I was suddenly able to see more clients. So suddenly I was bringing in more money, which therefore meant I was more profitable, which meant I had more money to pay someone to help me, right? So my old mindset of, oh my gosh, if I pay someone to do that, there's going to be less for me, was absolutely wrong. Because what happened is, by having someone else in my business to take away those tasks, I had more time to go out and see more clients, therefore bring in more money, right? Which was fantastic. And getting the right person. So just sort of, I want to touch on the getting the right person, because I really believe that when you know, you know. And so after the delightful Penny moved out of Auckland and went on to now start her really successful own interior design business, I took on someone who, right from the beginning, I didn't know if she was the right person. But also I was at that point, I was scared of not having anyone. And so I took her on. And look, things were great. She had many, many wonderful skills that she added to my business and created some other great tools and resources for our clients that were wonderful. But there were some signs, and I chose to ignore the, sorry, I can't come in today, sorry, I'm late. Some of this started to happen. And this is where it was a great learning lesson for me about, you know, listening to my intuition. When that happened, I should have taken some action around that was not acceptable in my business. But again, there was that fear of, if I didn't have this person, what would I do? Because I, at that point, my business had grown so much, I wouldn't be able to do all of these things on my own. Well, anyway, I didn't follow my intuition, did I? And I went on a lovely overseas holiday. And unfortunately, this lady really let me down when I was not in the country. And even said some things to some clients that were not appropriate. And I found these out after the, you know, after she had gone. And so what I've learned from that exercise is that it is really important to have the right people. And when you don't have the right people, there are the signs and you must listen to them. And so I managed to employ someone else who was a bit older, who then took on and is still working with me, the lovely Leslie, who has been absolutely fantastic on my accounts and purchasing side of things. And then I've brought on another young design student who helps me out with my more design related administration type tasks. And so I have two people that help me in my business, and I most certainly couldn't do the work that I do today if I didn't have these people in my business. And look, you know, I think we go through, highs and lows and good seasons and bad seasons of our business where, you know, everything's going along nicely and then, you know, something might happen and the wheels fall off. Over the years, I haven't been so great at coping with challenging situations, and I've always tended to live in fear or worry of when things go wrong and how I might have addressed those. And probably my biggest learning around things like that has always been is that there's always a solution. And it's just a matter of, who do we need to help us? What do we need to do to find the best result, you know, for our client, whether it be in a conversation with suppliers or whether it be in owning up to a mistake that, you know, that we've made as well. And so I suppose I always looked upon when things went wrong as a real, like, catastrophe. It was always like, it felt to me like really dramatic, and I really didn't cope well in those particular situations. But what I've really learned is that over the years, with the various resources and things like that, is that by tackling those situations with a different mindset, and this is where enter some new personal business crossover. New tools have come into my life. And so these sorts of things have been super helpful to I call myself an active relaxer, because that's something I'm still working on. You know, I never allowed myself the time for space for thinking and sitting and reading and all those sorts of things. But what I did do is that as a high intensity exerciser, I've always been, you know, like socially overcommitted. And also I've always had this big FOMO, fear of missing out. So I've always had this very overfull calendar. What I did was I introduced meditation, and then I introduced yoga into my life. Well, these have been such powerful new back then tools that literally have become my daily toolkit, right? And so, you know, thinking back to all those situations where, gosh, I would have it got a phone call from someone saying, oh, this has been delivered and a piece of furniture is damaged, be like, oh my gosh, oh no, what am I going to do? Oh gosh, this is a catastrophe. I have a completely different mindset. My first thought is always like, okay, what do I need to do to sort out this situation? And I don't even get upset and over anxious. I mean, this has taken years, obviously, of practice, but I really, really believe that by bringing meditation into my life, especially for someone like myself who's not great at relaxing, likes to have everything perfect, it has absolutely calmed my situations and the way in which I approach challenges. And I do that in a completely different way. And so I don't know for any of you listeners out there, if you've brought meditation into your life. I actually meditate now twice a day. So I meditate in the morning and I meditate in the evenings. And that just has been so, so, so helpful to calming that busy mind, letting me and allowing me to, you know, like I say, sit and relax without having to feel the need to jump up and actually do. You know, we talk about the, you know, always doing and having the space now to actually just be, to be okay with that, because it's really interesting. I probably wasn't okay with just being on my own or being in my own spaces, I suppose. And so, you know, where I talked about that, you know, being socially overcommitted, you know, our industry is full of events. Well, I tell you what, I think I pretty much for years there went to every event. And that was great in my early networking days, but it was hugely detrimental to my own health and well-being. And so, you know, I continued to keep working on myself, working on my business, improving my systems, and things, you know, got to a really great balance. And there's always going to be times, obviously, where, I've found this over the years where things are going along really, really well. And then all of a sudden it feels like, oh my gosh, I've got so much on, I can't cope again. But it's about learning. And here's another really great one, actually, I'll talk about, and it's the learning to say no, always wanting to please people and not offend people. And so, you know, like, especially with those social engagements, you just continue to say yes, to the detriment, you know, of your own health. And the learning to say no, like to when you feel that the client job isn't right for you, you know, someone might phone up or email you, how much do you cost? Well, now that for me, that's just a complete warning sign. You know, that person is not thinking about, you know, the results that I'm going to help them with, the money that I'm going to save them, how easy I'm going to make their building or renovation process. This person wants to know how much am I going to cost them. So generally they wouldn't be my ideal clients, because my ideal clients these days are wanting to have, you know, someone that can lead and guide them through a much easier process than if they were to do that themselves, right? And so bringing no into my vocabulary on a regular basis, you know, I actually don't go to events. It's very rare that I would go to an event these days. And that's just been amazing. That's given me so much more time back to do the things that I really want to do for myself. And also my business is at a point where I don't need to be at every event, as you can imagine, because I've been in the industry for quite some time. But, you know, I was going along and I thought everything was just pretty good with my life and business. You know, sure enough, you know, there were those times when I was a little bit too busy, but without too much effort, I could swing that pendulum back again. But, you know, ultimately when I look back, I still had a lot on in my life. And I'm sure that there's lots of you out there like me who can really cope with a full calendar and a full workload. But actually, that's not where I'm at now. And that's definitely not where I want my business to be at. So before I could actually realize that perhaps I should look at slowing down a bit more, going to a few less events, doing a little bit less work, I got a big knock on the head. And this was in September of 2019, so only 2 years ago. And you know, back then I probably thought that everything was really good in my life and, you know, I still was doing a lot. But one day I was fit as a fiddle and the next day I was in hospital. And who could have picked that? And I think not only myself, but everyone in my life was as, still gives me a bit of a gulp in my throat because it was a really, really awful point in my life where, looking back now, it was a real, brought me to my knees and managed to, it woke me up to a whole lot of things. And there was a whole lot of dis-ease in my body, obviously. And this was my opportunity to make some more changes in my life. So, you know, close to 3 weeks in hospital, and pretty much wrote off the whole month of September out of my life. For someone who's always been really fit and healthy, to suddenly not be able to get up, to suddenly not be able to do my hair, not to brush, to shower and all those sorts of things, I was pretty much at the mercy of others. And this would be the very first time in my life that I have really, really asked for help. And it's also been the first time in my life where I felt completely out of control, where every day when the doctors came to see me and they just couldn't tell me what was wrong with me and that why I couldn't get well, where there was just nothing that I could do but just wait and lie there. You know, my sister would brush my hair because I had no energy to even brush my own hair. My parents, for the first time ever seeing me laying there, they came and they sat on the end of my bed every single day. It was really humbling. It really cracked me open, and it made me realize that we only get this one life, and that what the heck was I doing running around like a blue ass fly, working my days away, often doing things that I didn't really want to, you know, socially and business wise. And here was my opportunity to come out of this with a completely different perspective. Actually, just for those of you that might be wondering, the reason that I ended up in hospital was I had a really sore stomach. And so initially they thought I had food poisoning, but what it actually ended up being, after a couple of days, I had a pelvic abscess, which was causing this excruciating pain. So they got that under control within sort of a week and started giving me medication for that. But then I continued to get sicker and sicker and weaker and really high temperatures. And they found out that I had three lung infections. And so that was awful. So I had all these drains put into my back where they drained all this awful brown liquid over the next 2 weeks. And then it was a process of getting temperatures down and building up my strength so they would actually let me leave the hospital and go home. And so that became a process for me of surrender, really, of completely surrendering to the getting myself well and not worrying about anything else. And look, admittedly, that whole time I was in hospital, thankfully for the wonderful Leslie who looked after my business and my lovely clients who patiently waited while I got myself well, I did nothing. You know, I couldn't even read a magazine or a book or anything like that. I pretty much just slept all day and all night while my body got itself well. So I had all this dis-ease in my body, and now it was time to come out of hospital and actually make some more serious changes in my business and my life. And so I'd been working reduced hours, and so I worked 4 days a week and made a conscious decision to only, from that point, take on projects that I really wanted to do. Because when I looked back, you know, I had still been saying yes to some things when I really should have been saying no. I also needed to realize that it was actually okay to ask for help when I needed it. Leslie was always available to do more, but there were still parts of my business that I was still doing when really I didn't actually need to be doing those. And so there it was, actually being able to say when I was asked, is there anything else I can do to help you? It's like, actually, yes, you could do this, this, and this, and this would actually really free up my time a whole lot more. It was realizing that the type of work that I really, really enjoyed doing most was working with my repeat clients. They are super, super easy to work with. And so now I'm really considered when I take on a new client, and I want to make sure that I'm going to have a really great relationship with them, whereby they are there to listen openly to all of my suggestions, because I'm here to make sure that they have the really best possible result that they can have. I'm always looking out for my clients. And so that was, like I say, a really huge wake-up call for me. And that was where I completely stopped going to events and really rationalized my working hours. So I made sure that, you know, I always have everything in my diary. So for the last, you know, probably 3 or so years, you know, when I do my meditations, when I'm doing my exercises, my yoga and all those sorts of things, so that I'm really clear with those boundaries around when I work, when is my work time? So by now, you know, as you can clearly see, I've got help, so I'm not doing everything myself. I'm a whole lot more profitable, you know, by the stage I've put up my prices, I'm selling packages, I've got clients that are working with me that aren't focused just on what it's going to cost them, but they're focused on the results that they're going to get. You know, I've got so much help in my business that it's giving me more free time so that I can spend that on my clients and not doing any of that admin-y type role and things like that. And so, of course, my business is heaps more profitable. I'm actually working so many less hours, but I am in reality making more money. You know, there's more money in my bank account. I would never have believed that if you'd told me that 6 years ago, but it's completely possible for you as well. And so as I start to round off and close off this podcast, what I want to share with you is that we all have a choice. You know, when I set out to be in business, I wanted freedom and flexibility, right? But actually, I didn't get that in that first 10 years of my business. I got lots of flipping frustration. And at many times, my business was probably really fragile along with myself. But as I sit here today, I really feel that I'm living my best business life. This is a Friday and I don't work. And you know what? I actually haven't got that much to do today because I work a whole lot less. I'm only working with clients that I really, really love working with. And I have the most money in my business account that I ever have. And you know what? If like 10 years ago you'd asked me, you know, that would my business be doing what it is today? I would never, ever have thought that I could have done this with my own little interior design business. And it's absolutely been possible. Lots of flipping tears, lots of hard work. But what I'm saying now is that I have created this freedom and flexibility. And so I get to have business on my terms. And all I can wish for you is that this podcast has helped you realize that possibly there are some things in your business that you could address right now. Do you need to bring someone in to help you out? You know, outsourcing. Perhaps you need to look at how you're charging. Perhaps you need to look at getting some help and advice. And this is where I didn't mention, but you know, over 6 years ago, I created Design Success for the very reason that I really wanted to help other interior designers not suffer and have overwhelm, not work really hard and not have the money that they should be earning. Work with really difficult clients when they actually could be working with clients that they really, really enjoyed with. So if there have been some things in here that have really resonated with you, I really encourage you to take one different step after listening to this podcast. What could you take away from this podcast and implement into your business now that's going to set you up to make things a whole lot easier? Look, and it's not going to happen overnight. You know, my journey has been 20 years, but I'd love for yours to be a lot quicker. And I know that with the students that come through my Design Success program, these 10 steps and these tools that I share with you, these templates that I share with you, these resources that I share with you are all there so that you can do things a whole lot easier than I did. Because that's all I wish for you, is for you to be successful doing what you love. And success means something different for each and every one of us. So with much love, go out there and make your business the business that you truly love. Go after that freedom and flexibility. Wishing you all the best.
Thanks so much for listening to Design Success, the podcast. If you can just take one tool or resource away from what you just heard and implement it into your business or life today, I know you're going to see some great results. If you'd like to get more of my resources or find out about my Design Success online self-study program, where you can study at your own pace and create that business you really, really desire, or start the one that you've always dreamed about, head over to designsuccess.co.nz and find out more about my program.